Okay, siguro nagtataka kayo, ano itong bagong serye natin, Knowing Your Neighbor's Gods. Hindi tayo mga kapitbahay ngayon. By neighbor, I mean Asia. And Asia, as you know today, this is the map of Asia. Asia being the largest continent, also the most populous, it is therefore not surprising that it has the most number and the greatest variety of religions. Kaya itong tayo naman ay nabibilang dito sa Asia, extending from the Middle East, once known as the Near East, to the Far East, to which we belong, ay ito ang pinakamalaking populasyon sa buong mundo at hindi nakapagtataka na dito ang pinakamaraming uri at pagkakaiba-iba ng mga reliyon. So we will be therefore considering Asian religions. At because of modern technology and of course modern travel and communications, Asian religions are no longer confined just to certain places in Asia. What was once mga weird religions ay international na ngayon. In fact, one of the most recognizable faces in religion today is this man. Sino yan? Known the world over as the Dalai Lama. He actually is the 14th Dalai Lama of the Tibetan Buddhism religion. Pero he is enjoying a lot of recognition and in fact international following, even among celebrities in Hollywood. Makikita natin dito sa kanyang halimbawa ng Asian religion ay hindi na lamang isang native tribal religion, but because of modern technology, it is enjoying wide and international recognition. And the reason why we would want to know why about Asian religions is because it is one of the ways by which our witness can be effective. Para maging mabisa ang ating patutuo, ang ating pag-iebanghelyo, ay maganda na kilalanin natin ang iba't ibang reliyon. Isa ito sa mga paraan para yung ating pakikipag-usap sa kanila ay maging mabisa, sensitibo, at hindi makakatisod ng walang kadahilanan. Isang bagay ito na isinaalang-alang ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang pagpapatotoo. He did not want to be offensive. He did not attack religion simply by attacking and being offensive, but he was rather sensitive to it. Gusto ko lang ipaliwanag na sa pag-aaral natin ng Asian religions, which will extend hopefully, or God willing, God enabling, until next month, ay hindi natin isasamang Islam. Islam is not anymore endemically Asian. Ito ay international religion na, kaya hindi natin isasamang Islam. At besides, ay gusto kong kung pag-usapan man natin ang Islam, it will be a more prepared series of lessons. So maybe in the near or distant future, we will study Islam when I am more assured of my security. So, ang titingnan lang natin ngayon ay yung more endemic Asian religion. So this will not be a comprehensive study, but just for the basic purpose of familiarity. But let's ask the question before studying any particular Asian religion: what explains religion? Anong nagpapaliwanag na merong relihiyon ang tao? And why is it so universal? Ibig sabihin, saan ka man magpunta sa mundong ito, sa pinakamakabago man o sa pinakaliblib na tribo, ay may makikita kang mga relihiyon. Bakit? Anong nagpapaliwanag? Why man is such a religious being? You don't see that among animals. But why is religion so endemic, so essential of man? What is the nature of religion? Whether we talk of Islam in its most important feast of Hajj sa Mecca, yan ang libingan ni Muhammad at ang pangangailangan sa mga Muslim. Once in their lifetime ay makapunta sila ng Mecca in order to visit and make pilgrimage to the tomb of Muhammad. Kaya yan ang isa sa pinakamaraming mga tao na pumupunta sa isang lugar during the feast of the Ramadan. Then, so whether it's the Hajj of the Muslims or a Catholic mass performed in a cathedral, or o kapag isa sa mga pag-aaralan natin, of course, is Buddhism, when they worship the big image of Buddha, or worship a god like Vishnu of Hindus. Again, isa yan sa pag-aaralan natin. So, ang pinupunto natin dito ay what explains all these things, whether it is the Hajj of Muslim or the very ornate mass of a Catholic mass or Buddhism or the Vishnu of the Hindus. What explains? Anong nagpapaliwanag nitong mga relihiyon na ito? At yan po ang ating titingnan sa pagbubukas natin ng serye na ito. Ay una, tingnan natin ang paliwanag ng Biblia. Dalawang mahalagang talata po ang tingnan natin. Ang una ay sa Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Ang sabi rito, "For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." So dito makikita natin yung sinasabi na there is something in creation that is clear to man. What is clear to man from creation is God. He cannot escape the knowledge of God from creation. Why? Because our understanding of creation is that it is revelation of God. Nagpapahayag ang Diyos sa kalikasan. Maaring sa iba, sa mga scientists or yung mga nag-aaral ng kalikasan, ito ay parang object of study lamang. Pero ang hindi nila maaring nakikita sa nature, sa kalikasan, nangungusap ang Diyos. Diba? Sabi ng Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory. There is no place where His speech is not heard." Kapag nakita nila sa kalikasan, hindi nila matatakasan. At ang sinasabi ng salita riyan ay merong sense of God. Sa theology, tinatawag yan sa Latin na sensus ditatus. The sense of God is endemic, innate in man. This sense of God is immediate and intuitive. Sa theology uli, hindi ito deductive or didactic. Pag sinabi mong deductive, pag sinabing because of this, therefore, yan ang deductive. Hindi ganyan yung pagkaalam natin ng Diyos. Hindi kumot may nakita ka, therefore, kundi immediate. Once you are there, confronted by nature, God speaks to you. God confronts you. Hindi rin ito basta didactic na naituro lang sa atin. Pinalaki tayo sa turo na may Diyos, kaya tayo naniniwalang may Diyos. So ang sinasabi rito ng ating teksto, hindi lang ang knowledge of God ay conclusion natin from logic. Hindi ito dahil naituro lang ng culture, kundi once you are a human being, and you live surrounded by creation, whether you admit that it is creation or not, God is speaking to you. Therefore, it is immediate, it is intuitive. Nasa iyo na, hindi mo na matatakasan. Ang ginagawa ng tao, sinusupress niya, sinusupil. Andyan yung kaalaman, pero sinusupil niya, binabaluktot niya, pinipigil niya, pinapalitan niya, pero nandoon yun. Therefore, man has to respond to that revelation. So this sense of God is immediate, but this sense of God is being suppressed by man. So it erodes into idolatry. Kung papansin ninyo nga dito sa ating teksto, may tatlong pangungusap yan na may exchange. And you will note that the cycle is eroding. Una, the exchange, the glory of the incorruptible God for an image, whether of creeping things or four-footed animals or birds. Pero in exchange, at ang nangyari, God gave them over. And then yung worst they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So God gave them over to degrading passions. And worse, stage three, they exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. So in other words, from idolatry to immorality. Yan ang naging response ng tao sa kanyang revelation. They cannot avoid revelation. They are confronted with it, but they don't like it. Diba? Sabi sa Romans 1:28, they do not want to retain God in their knowledge. Kasi nasusumbatan sila. Kaya anong ginagawa nila? Sinusupil, binabaluktot, pinapalitan. Anong resulta? Relihiyon na nagbabaluktot ng katotohanan ng Diyos. So there is a downgrade cycle. And yet, this sense of God leaves man without excuse. Man is inexcusable. Sabi ng ating teksto, they are without excuse. General revelation renders man inexcusable, but general revelation is not sufficient to save. Ibig sabihin, huwag nating isipin na from nature lang, man can know the means of salvation. No one can know salvation except through special revelation in Jesus Christ. So yan yung unang nating passage. Yung ikalawa ay nung si Apostol Pablo ay nagpunta sa Athens. Sino nang nakapunta sa inyo sa Athens? At the time that Paul went to Athens, one contemporary said, in Athens, there are more gods than people. And here is Athens, one of the most visited places in the world. It is a tourist attraction. So yan yung Areopagus. O sa ibang translation ay Mars Hill. But Ares is of course the Greek of Mars. That's Areopagus. And Paul went there. This is the painting of the Renaissance artist Raphael of Paul in Areopagus. So siguro ganyan nung nagsalita si Pablo sa Areopagus. And in Areopagus, there is an altar to the unknown God. At this is an altar to the unknown God. Now, we do not know whether this is the exact altar that Apostle Paul saw, but it is scattered in the Roman Empire. Kaya ibig sabihin, totoo na may mga ganitong monumento ng altar to the unknown God. And in that encounter, this is what Paul said. In Acts 17, beginning verse 22, so Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." And then jump to verse 27, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. So dito, kaharap ni Pablo yung Greek religion, represented by so many idols, and in particular, he pointed to this monument to the unknown God. Ang pinapakita nito ay yung human nature naman. Doon sa Romans 1, nature, created nature. Sa Acts 17, Paul is appealing or pointing out human nature. By human nature, as God's image but fallen, man has an undefined longing for God, represented by this unknown God. Now, this longing for God is present even in idolatry. At dito makikita natin, ginamit ni Pablo ito. The translation in the King James Version is unfortunate because that's not the right translation. Yung sinabi ro na, you are superstitious. Na parang inaatake ni Pablo agad itong religion sa Athens. The proper translation is, in all things you are religious. In other words, he is respecting, he is recognizing the religion behind the monument to the unknown God. He is using it as a starting point, hindi pang atake. Kundi ginamit niya, kasi nakikita niya rito, kaya kayong merong unknown God, is your longing for God. Now let me just explain why this monument to the unknown God. The Greeks and pagans for that matter were afraid that they have representation of all kinds of gods, but they were afraid that they might have missed some God. Baka magtampo. lagot sila pag may nagtampong Diyos. Baka magpadala ng bagyo o kung ano pang salot. Kaya para huwag magtampo, gumawa sila ng para sa lahat na na-miss namin. Parang kumbaga ay eto ang mga Diyos namin. And then, here is the monument to the rest of the gods. Just not to miss anyone. But from that, Paul saw this longing for God. It is in human nature, native sa kalikasan ng tao na magkaroon ng pagkahanap ng Diyos. And this longing for God gives a sense of God's nearness and His remoteness. May binanggit si Pablo riyan sa verse 27 na we are groping. Very graphic yung ginamit niyang salita, nangangapa. Parang nag-ground out, may hinahanap kang bagay. Hindi mo makapa. Nung magkailaw na, nasa harap mo lang pala. Nangyari yan sa atin, diba? Pero ganyan ang tao raw sa kanyang Diyos. Alam niyang nandyan, kinakapa niya, at he is groping after God, and yet he is not far. But by his religion, he cannot find him personally. Yan ang kalikasan ng tao. As by his religion, man is attempting to have a sense of God being near, and yet in the process, it also proves that he is far. Near and far. That's what religion does of man. Dahil hindi niya matakasan yung kanyang longing for God. And this longing for God gives man's religious efforts both their tenacity and their futility. So again, magka-ibang bagay yun. So, ito yung dalawang teksto na magagamit natin to explain man's religion from the biblical perspective. From creation, there is revelation in nature. And from Acts 17, we learn that there is revelation in the human nature na hindi niya matakasan. Yung isa, it gives him a sense of God. Yung human nature gives him a longing for God. Now, let's draw some propositions out of these two passages. How do we explain human religion? Ano mang religion yan? From pagan to sophisticated to even Christian, how do you explain? Well, the following propositions. Unang-una, religion is an innate posture to God that is universal to all mankind. If yan ang innate posture, yan yung response mo. Kapag tao ka, religious ka na inescapably. You cannot escape it even when you deny it. So we do not explain religion by the so-called psychology of religion school. Sabi ni Sigmund Freud, religion is psychotic neurosis. Sabi ni Carl Jung, yan ay projection for a higher being. Eh hindi yan ang paliwanag ng salita ng Diyos. Ang paliwanag ng salita ng Diyos, kaya may reliyon dahil hindi matakasan ng tao ang katotohanan ng Diyos. He has to react even when his reaction is one of denial. Kaya kahit pa ang mga atheists represented by the philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who propounded the philosophy that God is dead. Marami siyang mga isinulat. Among the most militantly atheistic, thus spoke Zarathustra, where he propounded the idea of we are now supermen, so we do not need God, therefore God is dead. Whether it is our current generation represented by Richard Dawkins is today one of the most outspoken atheists na ang isang isinulat niya, The God Delusion. He is a professor in Oxford. And among his publications ay The God Delusion. And of course, the very title speaks for itself. To him, God is just a delusion. But even when people deny the reality of God, the very fact that they have to do so is because they have to respond to God. Even when their response is, in the language of Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Kaya, yan yung sinasabi kong madalas na mga taong hindi naniniwala sa Diyos, pero galit na galit sa Diyos. Narinig mo na ba yung mga nagsasabi? Eh kung may Diyos, bakit ang dami naghihirap? Kung may Diyos, bakit ang mga masasama hindi napaparusahan? Bakit ganyan? Eh, ayaw nilang Diyos, pero galit na galit sila sa Diyos. Why? Because they have to respond. They cannot escape. They cannot escape responding to God. Because God is there. Whether they deny it, andyan ang Diyos sa nature, sa kanilang sariling pagkatao, hindi nila matatakasan. So, from here, we learn that religion is an innate posture of man to God. And ikalawa, religion is a manifestation of sinful man's flawed quest for God. In other words, there are two opposite directions of religion. One is that it is a quest for God. Yan yung may sense of God which yields longing for God. Kaya pag may religion, merong element yan lagi na quest for God. Yan ang maganda sa ating witness. Hanapin mo sa relihiyon ng taong ito, what is the element that is a quest for God? And that's what Paul did in Athens. Yung ginawa ni Pablo sa Athens ay kahit pa ang kaharap niya ay idolatry, mahinaan na pa rin siya na sa kanyang tingin ay a longing for God. Ang una niyang reaction when he came to Athens, we are told in Acts 17, is his spirit was grieved when he saw all the idols. Naalala ko nung ako estudyante sa London, I visited the British Museum and I saw all these monuments that probably Paul saw. Ang una kong reaction ay, ang gaganda. Bigla ko naalala sa Acts 17, nung makita pala din ni Pablo, his spirit was grieved. Ito'y hangang-hanga. Pero ito yung nangyari kay Pablo, his spirit was grieved by all these idols. And yet, for all that, nung kaharap na niya itong mga idolaters, ang una niyang sinabi ay, you are religious. He made an honest commendation. So ganun tayo, pag tayo nagpatotoo, huwag ka agad panghahamak. Huwag agad pagkundina. Kasi we can see in man's religion an element of quest, paghahanap sa Diyos. Yun ang unahin mo. So there is in religion a manifestation of man's flawed quest for God. So religion, even in its falsehood, sabi ni Augustine, it possesses a memory of God. Ang larawan dyan ni Augustine ay yung taong may amnesia. Diba, yung taong may amnesia, pero at certain points, nagpa-flashback. Diba, kung pinanood niya yung Born Legacy sa Miyerkules pa, bago yun. Yung isang Born series ay nagka-amnesia si Jason Bourne, pero nagpa-flashback. Ganun ang tao raw, sabi ni Augustine. Ang religion ng tao ay amnesia, pero may flashback of the truth. At yun ang gamitin natin sa relihiyon ng tao. Yung mga may katotohanan silang hinahawakan because it is, in religion, there is a memory of God. Therefore, the starting point of witness must not be contempt, but respect. So, sabi sa 1 Peter 3:15, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Ganin gawin ninyo kapag kayo'y nakikipag-usap, may hinahon, kaya huwag padibate, huwag panghahamak, kundi merong paggalang. Pero ikalawa, religion is an exertion of man's futile flight from God. So yung dalawang direksyon, una ay quest, pero yung ikalawang araw ay palayo sa Diyos. It is flight from God. So every religion will have substitutes for God and will yield forms of idolatry. Whether that idolatry is as grotesque as Paul portrayed it in Romans 1 in terms of four-footed beasts and creeping things and birds of the air, or more sophisticated ones, as in the New Age, or perhaps even money idolatry in our day, but there will always be idolatrous substitutes. Ang anong trabaho ba ng substitute? The function of a substitute is to give a semblance of presence for emptiness. Kaya gumagawa siya ng sarili niyang pangpuno dun sa emptiness. So kaya ilalagay niya ang kanyang idol. Whether that idol is an image or an amulet or a money, pleasure, but it fills the emptiness. Yan ang trabaho ng isang substitute. Yan ang idolatry. And the task of witness is to expose the failure and the falsehood of idols. And one of the most graphic exposure of the futility of idolatry in the Bible is in Isaiah 44. The carpenter stretches a line, he marks it, and sinusukat niya. And verse 15, it becomes fuel. Verse 16, half of it, he burns in the fire. Over the half, he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. Verse 17, and the rest of it, he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. And Isaiah is exposing the deceit, the folly behind idolatry. And yet what is true of this piece of wood is also true of a bill of money or whatever it is that people today place for their emptiness, which prove as their idol. So that is the futility of idolatry. But number four, religion will never be sufficient to bring man to salvation. May mga nagsasabi na kanya-kanyang reliyon, bawat reliyon may liwanag, basta sundin lang nila yung liwanag na yon sa kanilang reliyon, yun ang daan nila sa Diyos. One theologian called this anonymous Christianity. In other words, because every light is the light of Christ, if anyone follows that light, no matter how little, no matter how small, but if he follows that light, he is actually following Christ. And in the process, he is a follower of Christ without knowing so. So in that sense, he is anonymously Christian. Yan yung kanilang paliwanag. We cannot accept that. We believe in the uniqueness and exclusive salvation in Christ alone, believed and accepted by faith. That is what John 14:6 tells us, where Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. And Acts 4 verse 12, where Peter addressing the Sanhedrin, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So hindi tama yung kahit sa ang relihiyon, kundi kinakailangan sumusunod at nagiging tagapagpasakop ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. So the reason why we need to know our neighbor's gods is in order that we may be effective in our witness, and at the same time, by doing this, we can witness to the exclusiveness and the superiority of our God who revealed himself in Christ. In the language of Jeremiah, but the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Now there's one interesting fact about Jeremiah 10 verse 10. Of the whole book of Jeremiah, this one text, this one verse is in Aramaic, not Hebrew. And that's surprising. Aramaic was the international language of that time, which means that Jeremiah intended this to be read by international people, that the Lord is the true God. At yun yung ginagawa natin. Kapag tayo nagpapatotoo, gusto nating ipakilala ang tunay na Diyos. So we try to know our neighbor's gods to present the case for God. There's an interesting encounter during the Assyrian War. In 1 Kings 20, ang sabi ng mga Assyrians, and the servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Their gods are gods of the hills. So they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they." So you see the superstition behind this. So God said in verse 28, "And a man of God came near and said to the king of Israel, 'Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is a God of the hills, but he is not a God of the valleys. Therefore I will give all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" You see, God is jealous for his exclusive and unique being as God. He shall not be compared or simply be put side by side with other gods. And that is the reason why you and I should take time to know our neighbor's gods, because loving our neighbor means we want them to love the Lord our God with all their hearts. Any question? Any thoughts, questions you wanted to ask? Papu?
Sa pag-witness po, pwede po bang tanungin mismo yung tao kung ano ang kanyang religion? Pwede bang tanungin yung tao kung ano talaga ang kanyang religion para
pag kausap tayo? Of course. Tanungin, or if in case you already know, you make the assumption na he is a follower of his religion and you deal with him accordingly. Always starting, as Peter said, with gentleness and respect. Yun pong uulit-ulitin ko sa series na ito. Ipapakita ko ang kamalian ng mga reliyon, pero I will always emphasize we begin with respect and gentleness. Ito yung hindi lang sa witness, I will even contend, especially when we come to Confucianism, it is helpful in diplomacy. Ang pagkakalat ng ating mga pinuno, ang isang dahilan ng sigalot natin ngayon sa China, hindi maunawaan yung the Confucian value of propriety. We treated them very improperly. Ngayong pumalag sila, takbo tayo sa Amerika. Yan ang nakalulungkot dyan. Ian.
Pastor, yung modernism po ba ay a new kind of religion? Kasi in the Old Testament, ang parang ang lumalabas na trend is pagalingan sila ng gods that they worship. But sa culture natin ngayon, it's more of respecting other belief and parang not imposing kung ano yung to other people yung inyong belief.
Well, you have to define what you mean by modernism, dahil iba-ibang punto riyan. Merong modernity, which is a sociological process. Modernism, which is a philosophy that highlights rationality. And then you have postmodernism, which is a philosophy which highlights yung relativity ng beliefs. So if you mean modernism in the sense ng they uphold science, rationality as the explanation of all things, well, kasama yan sa idolatry sa aking palagay, but it is not something that we will consider as Asian religion. Ben.
No. First po, I would like to acknowledge na interesting yung topic. Then, one of the universal thing about religion is the presence of incentive. Incentive in a sense that Christians have hell and heaven. The Buddhists have the yung good Nirvana and Hindus na Nirvana state, if you do this or you do that, does it fall to the key biblical passages of sense of God and longing for God?
Well, precisely because their encounter with God in nature as well as in human nature, among other things, yields this sense of justice. So kung merong sense of justice, how do you explain the fact that so many things happen in this world without justice? So diyan papasok yung, there must be somehow, somewhere, a way of exacting justice for all men and against all that are who are considered sinners. Kaya diyan papasok yung may kanya-kanyang paniniwala paano gagawin ito, whether it is expressed in terms of karma or paradise or reincarnation. So may kanya-kanyang at ma-encounter natin yan as we go along. Ano-ano itong iba't ibang paniniwala, how justice is exacted. Other questions or thoughts? Carol.
Pastor, in my experience, when I meet people like this, what they usually ask me is, why do you really believe? Because in our case, they know that we rely on God's revelation through His Word. And what they always say is, how can you prove that the Bible is authentic? It is really from God alone, not because the authors are human. And
well, one practical advice is attend my class in apologetics. And we are already considering that, in fact. Pero pagdating sa paniniwala sa scripture, dalawang hakbang ang ating ginagamit. Una, may tinatawag tayong the self-attestation of the scriptures, meaning ang kayang magpatotoo ng kasulatan sa kanyang sarili, which means we let the scriptures speak for themselves. May kasabihan sa English na the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Kahit na mag-argue ka, gamitin mo lahat ng alam mong culinary adjectives para pasarapin yung pudding, eh hangga't hindi niya natitikman, hanggang teorya lang siya. Pero pag pinatikim mo na at natikman niya talaga, sabi niya, masarap nga. Kaya kahit hindi mo ipaliwanag, basta natikman niya. So that's the first thing. We let them speak. We let the Bible speak for itself. And it has the tone, it has the voice of God speaking therein, and if the Holy Spirit attends it with His power, we know that it can regenerate even the hardest soul. So yan yung una. Pangalawa, ay may tinatawag sa ating confession na the excellencies of the Bible. In other words, there are certain elements in the Bible that cannot be explained apart from the fact that God was behind it, including its matter, meaning yung pinapaliwanag nito, mga bagay na hindi mararating ng isip ng tao maliban na ito'y ipaliwanag ng Diyos. And then the consistency of its parts, only the Bible is such a book that has been written in a span of 2,000 years by 40 different authors using different genres or literary types, and yet they focus on one issue, which is God's work in salvation, which came to fulfillment in Christ, and then prophetic fulfillment, and of course, the fact that we can attest to the verification of the Bible as proven by archaeology and manuscripts. We can this is a whole semester of study, kaya, and I'm trying to summarize in 2 minutes of an answer. But yun ang dalawang bagay, self-attestation and the excellencies, divine excellencies of the scripture, meaning excellencies that only the divine presence could explain. Go ahead, Carol.
Pastor, may question from a child. Is Catholicism the only fake Christian religion out of all the others?
I'm sorry, could you kindly repeat,
please? Is Catholicism the only fake Christian religion out of all the others?
Well, Catholicism is one of the variations or one of the expressions of Christendom, meaning in Christendom, meaning those religions that explicitly profess Christianity, Catholicism is one of the mainstream expressions of Christendom. Now, whether Catholicism is biblical is another issue. Sa Christian history, Catholicism is orthodox. Ang definition kasi ng orthodoxy ay in line with the confessions of the patristic age. Tinutukoy yan yung first 5 centuries. And Catholicism is consistent with those confessions, Trinity, Christ's deity, etc. Kaya orthodox but not evangelical, meaning it is not consistent with the gospel. But we will not study Catholicism, of course, as an endemically Asian religion. Dahil sa Asia, dalawang bansa lang naman ang talagang professedly Catholic, Philippines, East Timor. Oh, poor my ear. Other question. Go ahead, Carol.
Pastor, there's another question. What will you do if someone doesn't want to believe in what you say about God? What do you think if someone creates another religion?
Well, the fact is that people already created so many religions. And this is the point of this series. We will see some of those religions made by man. We will study Confucianism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and other religions here in Asia. What was the first part?
What will you do if someone doesn't want to believe in what you say about God?
Pray
God
for him. Just pray for him. Of course, we do not believe in imposing or enforcing religion. Ito nga ang pinaglaban ng mga Baptists sa America noon. When America was a new nation and it was seeking for a state religion like its mother country, England, and they looked to the Baptists to make them the state religion. And it was the Baptists who refused. And they instead campaigned for the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which upholds that no law shall be passed respecting any religion. Kaya yan ang paniniwala natin. Our faith thrives where there is freedom rather than imposition. Our questions, thoughts, o baka dati kang may religion na pinanghahawakan noon na Asian and how the Lord set you free, I'm very interested to hear. Ha? Pungsoy. Oh, isa sa mga matatalakay natin. Go ahead, Carol.
Pastor, follow up lang to what I asked earlier regarding those who really ask us about the authenticity of the Bible as God's Word. What do you suggest we do? We do let them read the Bible, or we mention verses supporting the authenticity of God's Word?
Well, pag pinag-usapan natin ay authenticity, ang sinasabi natin dito ay whoever wrote whatever he wrote is actually the person who he says he is. Yan yung sinasabi nating authentic. And kung ang pag-usapan naman ay authenticity, no book of the ancient world has proven to be more authentic than the New Testament. Consider this matter. I-compare natin sa ibang ancient documents. Aristotle. Aristotle, alam niyo bang existing manuscripts ni Aristotle? 7. 7 lamang. Iliad, Homer, about 49. And then you have Plato's Tetralogies, Plato's Tetralogy, 49. And then Homer would have about 100. New Testament, 5,600 manuscripts. Now, have you heard people doubt that it was Aristotle speaking kapag ginagamit nila yung manuscripts? Wala, hindi nila dinadoubt. Do you hear people doubt that it is actually Plato when actually they're only using 49 manuscripts? They don't. They would. Do you hear people doubt whether it's actually Homer speaking when they are actually using only a few hundreds of his manuscripts? Walang nagda-doubt. Pero itong New Testament na may 5,600 plus manuscripts, kabi-kabila ang doubt. Which only shows this is prejudice, this is bias. Because what they would do to other ancient documents, what they would not do to other ancient documents which have much less manuscript evidence, they do again and again to the New Testament. Kaya kung authenticity ang pag-uusapan, I stand by the authenticity of the New Testament much more than any other ancient documents. Hindi lang yun, yung distance. Ibig sabihin, from the original to the actual existence of manuscript, again, Aristotle, I think, 1,400 years. Plato, again, more than 1,000 years. Ganun din sa Homer. New Testament, alam niyo bang the earliest New Testament manuscript we have, 50 years from the original. That's practically same generation. Meron na tayong manuscript nung original ng New Testament. So again, if we judge by what is to be done on ancient documents, the New Testament passes by flying colors, kumbaga Usain Bolt. Yung si Usain Bolt, yung athlete na record holder na iniiwanan yung kanyang mga kalaban sa takbuhan, eh ganyan ang New Testament, iniiwanan niya yung mga ibang ancient documents pagdating sa ebidensya. So yun kung ang pag-uusapan ay authenticity. But kung ang pag-uusapan ay inspired word of God, that's what we leave to the Holy Spirit as we use the scriptures. Jean.
Pastor, ang question ko po, kailan ka, when do you respect and when do you defend Christianity? Kasi in many cases, or in one case for instance, I was attending a meeting sa Yogyakarta sa Indonesia. Then we visited yung Borobudur Temple and there's this tour guide. At meron doon ang mga inscriptions and pictures ng man and woman. And he's explaining certain teaching. And then bigla niyang sinabi na para daw yon sa kay Christ nung kay Mary nung dumalaw si yung the angel who visited Mary, and after that nabuntis na si Mary. So meron siyang insinuation doon, you know, of something very bad about the visit of the angel to Mary. So ako, ang feeling ko, I was so indignant, pero chinus ko na parang irrespect lang, you know, not saying anything, but you know, it made me feel very bad. And this kind of thing is something we experience, especially we travel, you know, in our Asian neighbor countries, in the Asian countries. May mga ganun silang wrong thinking about Jesus in relation, for instance, sa kanilang religion. So ang question ko po, yung kailan mo yung respect at kailan yung indignation or defense gagawin?
Well, it's a good question, and I probably would have said something kapag nasa ganung sitwasyon, and I'll say what I believe to be the Christian position or version of the story, just to counter an insinuation that is stated sa isang public na sitwasyon. So now, kung one-on-one, I let him state his or her case, and then I'll have my chance to state my case, which is what Paul did when he would visit a synagogue. Hahayaan niya magsalita yung mga nandoon, and then siya naman magsasalita. So that's the point na at certain points, you let them speak and state their case. But then, given the chance, state your case in order to counter a particular point.
Hindi, may share ko lang. Actually, Halos related kay Ate Jean, pero hindi naman ganun katindi. I had the opportunity to interact with people of different faiths, of different religion, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim. And I think I've shared this before. Wala naman ako na experience na inatake nila yung si Kristo. Meron lang, especially ang medyo pinaka-aggressivo itong ano eh, itong Muslim. Kaya lang, tama yon yung tanong ni Ate Jean, how do we defend? And babalik lang talaga ako sa scriptures. At pag dumating na ako sa point na yon, what happens? Sila yung umaayaw. Sa totoo lang, ano, naalala ko yun, nung nasa US ako, Jordanian to, nung sinabi ko, kasi sabi sa scripture ganito, in our scripture, this is what it said. How can you disprove Christ who was witnessed to ascend to heaven by this? Wala pang text, wala pang cellphone, blah, blah, blah. Sabi niya, let's not talk about religion. The thing is, siya yung umaayaw. And sa Buddhist, I find them more open. Nagtatanong sila, and I have to declare it very truthfully. Ano? So it's an opportunity. Tama yun, yung tanong kanina, how would you share the gospel to dito sa ano? Gawin mo lang yung trabaho mo, responsibilidad mo, i-share mo, evangelize mo, bahala na Diyos sa magdirig doon kung kakaugnayin yung taong yun. But again, it's a privilege na ilat ilang tao, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, naka-associate ko na, pero I never feared of really defending the gospel before these people.
Yes, so we will need some of those personal experiences of yours in dealing with these people when we go along sa ating mga particular religions that we will be studying. And yes, I think it is true to say na we have a better case when it comes to eyewitness account, manuscript evidence. Kaya huwag tayong matakot without being argumentative or contemptuous of any religion. We should be confident that we have a very good case when it comes to the Christian case. Yes, Glenn.
Pag na-meet mo itong mga taong you have, kaya sabi ni Ike, mga Buddhist, mga Islam, mga Chinese, parang especially yung sa akin level, mga scientists, yung mga na-meet mo, they are really very good scientists. Ang initial question mo ay, bakit sila naniwala sa mga ganito, yung mga scientists sila? Kaya dapat maintindihan natin, kasi yun din ang tanong nila sa atin, Kristiyano, kasi especially alam nila yung Katoliko, eh, ba't naniniwala kayo sa patay na nakakross dyan? Parang that's weird, that's yucky, parang yun ang term nila. So, mag-ingat din tayo, pero ang nakita kong effective talaga, kung ano ang testimony natin, I think doon sila ma-attract sa iyo, they will start asking you kung kaiba ang iyong paniniwala, iba ang iyong action, iba yung pagka, ang paano ka mag-react sa tao, yun I think doon tayo ma-start sila ma-attract. Kasi pag sinimulang atakin, ano ba, ba't naniniwala kayo sa ganito? Nakasabi kasi ganito. Hindi nila maintindihan yun. So, they have to be first attracted sa nangyayari. Then, yung mga ideas mo, then I think doon mag-start yun.
That's a good point. And that's what we call empathy. Na yung itinatanong natin sa kanila, yung maaaring yun din ang itinatanong nila sa atin, bakit ka naniniwala pa sa ganyan? And let me just share, a week or 2 weeks ago, I had a week-long exchange of emails with another person holding to a position which questioned the Genesis account literal days. So, palitan kami yan ng buong week. And then, in one email of his, sinabi niya na, by your honest loyalty and humility to the scriptures, you have won your opponent. Point ko ron ay, maybe the factual exchange may not be that much as far as kanya. Pero may dating sa kanila, when you are honest about it, I would tell him sa email, there are certain things I don't understand, but there are certain things that I will maintain. So my advice when we have to have that kind of exchange, you're aware of the three omni attributes of God. Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Some people try to be omnicompetent. Don't be, because we're not. Kaya pag hindi ka masagot talaga, say so. Kaysa try or force an answer which later proved to be false. So, humility is part of what Peter meant by gentleness and meekness. Any last thoughts? Sige po.
I just want to add something to your answer to your question. Kasi pagka nandun tayo sa ibang culture, we need to show the respect that the pastor just told us. Nandun ka sa ibang bansa, mahirap yung kaagad magbabat in ka ng negative sa kanila. So what I would have thought, because you felt indignant about that, you could have said, well, kung ako yon pala, sabihin ko na, may I say something about, yung ask their permission. Kung hindi, this fine, but ano ka, at least nagkaroon ka ng chance to tell what you think about it. Yun lang naman.
Well, and that's exactly what we find the Apostle Paul doing dun sa Athens. We are told that he was grieved in the spirit. In fact, yung word na ginamit for grieve is angry, yun nga, indignant. Paul was indignant when he saw all these idols. And yet, when he already encountered the Athenians, he started with commendation. In all things you are religious, which could only mean it was very deliberately prepared by Paul. Pinag-isipin niya, hindi siya nagpunta ro na itong mga idolaters na to. So you'll get an earful. Ay, hindi ganun ang ginawa niya, kundi talagang inihanda niya yung sarili niya na may maganda siyang sasabihin. So ganun din tayo, i-rehearse natin kahit pa indignant tayo, i-rehearse natin yung sasabihin natin sa ating isip when we have to tell these people something. Any more? And last thoughts, Jean? Jean, then Ben.
Just a response to that. So, galit na po kasi ako. So, I really cannot think about asking question anymore. Kaya ako, hinold lang yung peace ko. But ang lesson ko po doon is you should be ready. You should be ready. Siguro ako lang, I was so tired and that was the last day of the meeting. So parang hindi po ako ready for that kind of comment. Kaya talagang, but I think as a Christian, yung katulad nga po ng sinabi sa Bible, should be ready to defend our faith.
Yeah, and don't feel guilty about being indignant, because that's what Paul felt when he saw all these idols in Athens. He was indignant, he was grieved, and yet when he uttered these words, it was with a very gentle approach to the Athenians. Patrick.
Pastor, consider din ba as idolatry, halimbawa may mga tao, they claim to be Christians, and yet may certain characteristics ang God na hindi nila matanggap. Or may mga tao naman na meron silang pet attributes ng God. Halimbawa, God na puro blessing, God na nagmamahal lang pero walang punishment. Idolatry din ba yun?
Well, they are distortions of God. I mean, hindi necessarily idolatry. They may be referring to the true God of the Bible, but they have certain misconceptions about God. At maraming ganyan na totoong Kristiyano, pero may mga, halimbawa, hindi nila matanggap the absolute sovereignty of God. And yet, we can accept that they are true Christians, and there are others who cannot accept the justice of God that will lead to everlasting punishment. And yet, we do not say that they are not Christians just because they reject certain attributes. So, there can be a recognition of the true God, but with certain misconceptions. Meron pa? Ben? And then last, Carol.
Pastor, when we say the sense of God is must be immediate and intuitive, not deductive or didactic, when asked question, why do you believe in God? And especially in science, parang sabihin nila, the nature is so systematic, parang evidence na ganyan nga, systematic yung nature na may ganto, kaya niniwala ako there's a God. Is there something erroneous about the answer?
No, it's not erroneous because we believe in the rationality of our evidences for God. Kaya gamit natin yun. Pero ang punto natin, the sense of God is not because you arrived at it by rational arguments. The sense of God is because it is intuitive, it is immediate. Pero hindi natin hindi tayo pupunta sa isang unbeliever at sabihin natin na hindi, basta meron kang immediate and intuitive knowledge of God. Sa atin yung Christian theology natin yun. We use that to understand man, pero we don't begin with that when we witness to unbelievers. But we can use rationality because that is part of what man is. Carol?
I'll just add something to what Glenn said na napakahalaga po talaga ng testimony natin, because when people ask us about our faith, it's because of how they see us really living our faith and how we react to everything around us depending on God's sovereign will and everything. At saka, siguro pag dumating sa point na meron tayong hindi masyadong alam na or hindi natin masyadong maalala, it's really best to re-study it again, re-study the scriptures and pray much for it. Kasi it's the Holy Spirit who will also give us the wisdom on what to say to and ang maging point din natin is not to really win a debate or something else, but to just defend our faith.
Exactly, and that is our point, is to win souls, to persuade sinners, and not to win debates. And we should grow out of that concern, probably one of the tempering influences of aging on my part, is I'm no longer concerned about winning arguments or debates as I used to in my young days. Remember this. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Sabihin, tinabunan mo siya ng galing mo makipagdebate, wala na siyang masabi, nakumbinsi mo ba siya? Hindi. Yung bang wala na lang siyang masabi kasi napakagaling mo makipagtalo, still of the same opinion. At a certain point, we terminate the argument and let, yung sinabi nga nila, Glenn Carroll, na let life win the person where your arguments cannot persuade him. And let us hope that this is a good beginning sa series. Let us hope that as we deal with each of these Asian religions, there will always be that part of us that can be convincing in terms of our life and testimony. Let's close in prayer. Nakilala naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga bagay na natutunan namin mula sa iyong salita upang maunawaan namin ang likas ng tao bilang relihiyoso. Hindi niya maiwasan ang reliyon kahit pa kanyang itinatanggi, kahit pa kanyang sinusupil, ay naroon ang kanyang postura ng reaksyon sa Diyos, sapagkat ang kapahayagan mo ay lubos na malawak. Your revelation is general, extended to all mankind. There is no place where your speech is not heard, and it is heard because of your creation. It is heard because of human nature. And help us, Lord, to understand that by this, there is in man that sense of God, and there is in man that longing for God. And yet, that longing gives him that opposite direction of quest for God, and at the same time, flight from God. And understanding this, grant that we may be more effective in our witness to our fellow Asians as we understand their religion and the way they worship their gods. And help us, Lord, to be indeed convinced that we do not just persuade by way of our propositions and arguments, but rather let our lives be such that weigh upon their impressions and see the life-changing power of the gospel that we profess. So be with us in this series, and may our study lead us to a deeper conviction of the exclusiveness and uniqueness of our true and great God who revealed himself through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ we pray all these things. Amen.